Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers. I was just talking to today's guest. We need prayer for wisdom, and I think we all do. And that's a prayer that God promises to answer generously when we ask him for wisdom. So we need to do that. Before I bring in today's guest, who is going to be a speaker at the Worldview Matters Conference, let's go to the website, worldviewmattersconference.com. And I need to shout out to some new sponsors. Praise God. First of all, the major sponsors I want to mention, they go down to the bottom of the page, Harbingers Daily, Legacy Church, they're in New Mexico, Creative Edge Productions, Freedom Project Academy, the Family Radio Network, His Sword Ministries, and a brand new one, major sponsor right under the family there is Alpha Omega Gold. Alpha Omega Gold. They're a Christian, unapologetically Christian investing company, and just blessed to have them on board. And then I want to scroll down to the bottom, and there's some brand new sponsors, two of them. That's Training Godly Warriors. That was a former guest we've had on the podcast, Training Godly Warriors, and also the Wisconsin Christian News. So we are continuing to get more sponsors. We're so blessed to have the support. More coming. And right now, I just want to go to EdensRedemption.org and tell you about today's guest, Laura Perry Smaltz. We've had her on before. Such a blessing to have her back. Sister, good to see you. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Laura. It's great to connect to Oklahoma. Now, we're excited to have you in Green Bay in, I don't know, how many weeks? 6 weeks or something, whatever it is.
Something like that.
It's crazy. It's getting closer and closer. So Our audience is going to be able to see you in Green Bay speaking at the Worldview Matters Conference. But before we dive into today's topic, get an update from you on just what's going on in our country and around the world, the craziness, the demonic agendas, particularly when it comes to transgenderism and that ideology. I want you to share so people can pray for you about your recent, it's not recent, this is an ongoing health battle that you've had. And we've been talking about what's frustrating sometimes is you can be feeling better and then all of a sudden it gets, the inconsistency can be just as stressful when you go from bad, good, bad. So tell our audience how they can pray for you and what you've been going through, please.
Yeah, I've been going through some pretty severe neurological problems with my brain. We haven't figured it all out. I mentioned last time that I'm dealing with some inflammation, but I don't think that's the entire problem. I'm going to an upper cervical doctor right now that's doing some treatments that help a little, but he says that I have just had all kinds of head trauma. And I didn't realize how many head injuries I'd had in my life until I started. He asked me to start listing them. And I think that may be part of it. Part of it could be, I mean, testosterone on girls. I know from experience with other girls, there's not a lot of long-term studies, but I know that I was having cognitive issues during those years. Did that affect me? I don't know. COVID. I mean, there could be so many different things. And we've thought of so many different angles that we just can't figure this out. And we've just been praying. And I really feel like the woman with the issue of blood that spent all her living on doctors, we just need wisdom from the Lord. I get, you know, suggestions from well-meaning people all the time. Trust me, my parents have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on every kind of therapy and doctors on every end of the spectrum. And we need wisdom from the Lord. Yeah. So as much as I appreciate well-meaning suggestions, I really just want people's prayers. We need wisdom from the Lord. This is what I want you to do. But also in that, like, God has taught me so much through this experience. I've learned so much compassion and understanding for people with brain problems. I've learned, you know, because I didn't have a lot of grace for people, didn't realize that I didn't. But before it was like, if you were anxious or depressed or sick, well, you just need to read your Bible more. You just need to pray more. And sometimes there's real things going on. And I think it's a combination of warfare and real physical problems. And so I just need wisdom from the Lord. But also in that, I'm learning just to rely on the Lord and relying on Him to be my strength when I just have none. And there's days like, God, I can't do this. But seeing God strengthen me and be able to get up and talk in front of a crowd when I feel like I can barely put one foot in front of the other is amazing. And I know it's just the Lord.
I remember, I don't know if we did talk about that on a previous podcast or in an email exchange,
Briefly.
that when you get to the speaking engagement, he gives you the strength to do it, but you could be feeling horrible up to that point. It really is amazing. And as you shared that scripture, that Paul's response from God, "My grace is sufficient," from you, actually God responding to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I go to that one often because, as you know, with Rosanna, what we went through a couple of years ago, all kinds of therapies and remedies and detoxes and so many different things we tried, and we spent a lot of money. And then I got to the point where I'm going, "Lord, I don't want to do this out of a lack of faith. And because I know you're the ultimate physician and you might be allowing this, but I believe that she can be healed and you can heal her." So, yeah. So please, friends, pray for wisdom for Laura and also for myself. I'll just say I need it to care for my wife in the best way I can. And sometimes it's really hard, but God knows he's in this. And thank God this is all temporary, right, Laura? Praise
And
God.
prayer for wisdom for my husband as well. I mean, you can
Yes.
relate to him, I'm sure.
Perry.
Yeah, my husband Perry, he goes through a lot. And it's been amazing though to see such unconditional love. And he's taught me so much about the love of the Lord. But I know it gets weary at times because there's times that I mean I'm It's hard to explain to people what's really going on. There's times my brain really doesn't function very well, and I know that it's tough. But God is still, God is still good no matter what happens.
He's still good. He still uses us. And we pray that that would continue, that he will continue to use you. I want
Amen.
to give Laura's websites before we talk about some stories today and just what's going on in our culture, and just get her take on where she sees the whole battle between male and female and the transgender ideology going in America, at least. Edensredemption.org. Edens, Edens, redemption.org. She is also on Facebook. You can do a search for Edens Redemption on Facebook and pull up her Facebook page. And I want to make sure to mention her book that we talked to her many times about, Transgender to Transformed. Transgender to Transformed. So people can get that on Amazon or through your website, Laura.
Yes. Well, actually, our website is in the process of getting all our products on there. We do have some merchandise available, which I'm getting
Oh,
ready to
good.
announce. So yours is the first audience, but I don't have the
Awesome.
books up yet. So Amazon, but hopefully the books will be available there soon.
Okay, well, I just clicked on shop at Eden's Redemption, and look at that. There's shirts. Okay, great. Wow, neat stuff. I like the butterfly. My wife loves butterflies, especially the blue. She put a blue butterfly on one of her CD covers 20 years ago. That it just looks just like that same one. Anyway, I'm off topic already. Okay, focus, David. Focus, focus. So let's talk about an article over at harbingersdaily.com. And this was from Decision Magazine just over a month ago. But I thought this is something I can talk with you about. It's titled Disfigured for Life. In a landmark ruling, detransitioner wins medical malpractice case. Laura, I hope this sets some sort of precedent if that could happen. But just share your overall thoughts on this, and then I'll read a little bit more to give the audience an idea of what the story's about and who it's about.
Yeah, I'm thankful because these doctors, I'm sure there's a spectrum of motivations. I'm sure some genuinely think they're helping people, but I think a lot of them are in it for the money. But regardless of what they think, this is going to make them think twice. I know that doctors have a certain amount of malpractice insurance, but I've already heard there are a lot of doctors that are going to stop doing these procedures because they're afraid of these lawsuits. And this was massive. But it's also a huge, it brings to the forefront, even more importantly than that, it put in mainstream media that people really do regret this to the point that it is considered malpractice. And I can't remember in this specific case, but many of these girls that I have heard who have had their breasts removed and things like that, and they say, why did somebody let me? Why did a doctor allow this? Why did a doctor do this to me when I was 14, 15 years old? It's crazy. And it should absolutely be malpractice. And so I'm grateful that these guys are being stopped. It's one thing as an adult, and I still think that doctors should not be performing voluntary removal of tissue that that is healthy, you know, but that's another thing. But if people want to do that as an adult, you know, I can't stop them legally. But for our children, for minors, they absolutely need to be stopped. So I'm incredibly grateful for this ruling.
It's just when you hear this, and this is a good outcome, but it's just how far have we fallen? It's just how far away from common sense, but also brings up, Laura, I think the spiritual dynamic, the warfare mm-hmm. involved. This is demonic to want to destroy the imago Dei, the image of God mm-hmm. in mankind, human beings who are made in God's image. Not everybody is a child of God, if you want to get into theology, but we were all created in God's image. In fact, you were in that documentary that AFA put out, In His Image. So in this case, this person's lawyers argued that her psychologist, who's named in the article, was putting the idea in Fox's head that she needed gender transition surgery. So I think you shared in the past, you went to people for advice or counsel. They were probably giving you the green light. Am I wrong in suggesting that?
Well, it was a little bit different. Back then, we were kind of at this place where transgenderism was beginning to gain a little more ground, but it wasn't mainstream culture.
Okay.
But I was not interested in therapy at all at the time. I didn't want counseling. I didn't want to match the mind to the body. I felt this way. I didn't like being a girl. I didn't want to be a woman. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I had so much trauma and pain as a woman that I wanted to be a man. Mm. And I really convinced myself that that's who I was, that I was born that way. I'd always felt that way since childhood. But really, the truth is that I hated being a woman. So when I went to this therapist, it was only so I could get this diagnosis and then I could start on the hormones. But and I was required to go to 3 sessions. And in the 3rd session, I'll never forget, like I was just not paying attention really to the conversation. I'm just trying to fulfill this requirement. And she put down her notebook and looked over her glasses. She looked right in my eyes. And it's like she just stopped for a minute and she said, "Wow, you really have issues with your mom." And I was stunned. I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute. How did we get from talking about me being a man to talking about my mother?" And again, I've shared in many podcasts and videos that I don't blame my mom at all. Children do not have the same perspective that their parents do. I couldn't understand all the stress she was under and a whole host of other things I've shared in other videos. But at that time in my life, I did blame her for a lot. I was very angry at her. And so that wasn't what caused my transgenderism, but it's where some of those early lies from the enemy begin to come in. And rejection of femininity, but it built on so many other things over my life. I had so much trauma from men and from my own sexual sin, but that was at least part of it. And when she hit on that, I got very angry. I said, "I'm not here to talk about my mom." I blew up at her. And she said, "So you're just here for this diagnosis?" I said, "Yes, that's all I'm here for." And she said, "Okay." And she just gave me what I wanted. And I think she realized that I had deep emotional issues.
Yeah.
But instead of being willing to deal with it, she just gave me this diagnosis I wanted. And that might have seemed kind at the time, you know, to an outsider. But 9 years later and 2 surgeries, I had a hysterectomy and the ovaries removed. I had my breasts removed. You know, all of that later and years of hormones and destroying my body and losing 9 years of my life.
Mm.
You know, for what? So that you wouldn't upset me? And that makes me really mad. And I actually wrote her a letter. I never heard back from her, but I wrote her a letter later. I was very kind, but I just said, "I just want you to know this was not true. And I know you were doing your best, but people that are struggling with this generally have deep emotional issues that need dealt with." So I never heard back, but...
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to go back to this article briefly. By the way, this person was awarded $2 million.
Yeah.
And $400,000 of that was for future medical expenses. But anyway, so how common do you think this is then, Laura? It says, as a teen, this young girl, Varian, lived with depression, anxiety, anorexia, social phobia, and body image issues. And so do you think not only is that common today, but do you think counselors or those that are trying to push transgender and think, well, that's maybe this is the easy solution, or they want to direct them that way? It's wrong, but do you think that's what's happening a lot?
Yeah, when I hear that, sometimes I would go like ding 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 ding, like that is, it's so common that I think in almost every case, in fact, the number one demographic I see of transgenders is 14 to 15 year old girls. Used to be a little bit different. It used to be more men. But what we currently see in this culture, and I think so much of it is because that's right around the age of puberty for girls, or maybe a little bit after, but they're in that age where not only are they going through puberty and body changes, but now boys are beginning to see them different. They're beginning to being objectified. They're being treated like sexual objects. Their body becomes something that's vulnerable and unsafe and uncomfortable because of all the things they're going through, but also how they're being treated. They're being compared to other girls. And I remember I struggled with my health all my life, but I have always struggled with my weight, just up and down like a roller coaster. And if I would work really, really hard and I would eat healthy and I would exercise a ton, and then I would lose weight, but then I would get burned out. My adrenals and thyroid would start having problems. And so it's just been this yo-yo. But every time that I was, if I could get thin, then I would have lots of attention from guys. And then as soon as I'd start gaining weight again, they wouldn't give me the time of day. And I just remember this trauma of feeling like the only worth or value that I had to give anyone was in what I looked like. And I was always comparing myself to other girls. And that's what started my anger at God as well. Because if God made me, then why did God make me like this and make me this girl that has all these problems? But I think for a lot of girls, there are so many body issues. But here's one thing the Lord reminded me. What was the in the Garden of Eden, shame of the body was the very first response to sin, or the very first maybe consequence of sin. Before they're kicked out of the garden, before God pronounces the curse, there's an immediate shame of the body, and they realize they are naked. And their instinct was to cover up the parts that are given to a husband or a wife, you know,
that's
that
interesting.
Connect. You
yes.
know, the intimate parts, the parts that are intended to be such an incredible gift to a husband or wife now became a source of shame.
Wow. That's great. That's brilliant. That point right there. Just think about that, friends. Go back to Genesis. Back to Genesis. So this is what young people are dealing with. And so can you give us the year? I don't want to, you know, date yourself or anything, but the year that you were in that counselor's office, what year was that? Was that 90s, 2000s?
No, it was 2007, and I was 25.
So 2007. So when did the movie... was it Boys Don't Cry or something like that?
Yeah.
Was that the right movie? When did that come out?
I don't remember when it came out. I saw it after it had already been released. And I think it may have come out in the 90s. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
I know that Hilary Swank was a teenager. Yep. She played the girl that was living
sad
with the boy.
Sad story.
But
Brandon,
yeah, but I saw it.
Tina, mm-hmm. Tina, Brandon, Tina.
Yeah.
Sad story. But the reason I ask that is so you started yours around 2007. Mm-hmm. Here we are almost 20 years later, almost.
Right.
And think about the massive bombardment with this propaganda, this ideology from Hollywood, from social media, from the media, from at least most in the Democrat Party, from corporations.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, kids cannot get away from this, justifying what is called good now, but evil is called good. Good is called evil. Can you speak to that and what kids are dealing with now, even more than when you were growing up?
Yeah, I remember the day that I felt like I actually think there was something like a spiritual gate was opened because this is always, I mean, this is an ancient issue. You can find this in ancient paganism, and God warns not only were we not to indulge in pagan practices, but we're not even to go and observe what the pagans do. And so I have whole teachings on that. But anyway, but it wasn't prominent in our modern society Until, starting to gain a little more ground late 90s, early 2000s. But when Bruce Jenner came out as transgender and was on the cover of that magazine, it literally was like a floodgate open. And you or I began to see almost overnight this snowball effect. And this is what I tell people all the time. We like to believe that our sin only affects ourselves. I hear that from so many young people who live in LGBT lifestyles, especially those that were raised in church. And they'll say, well, my sin only affects myself. And it doesn't matter what I do. I'm not hurting anybody. But that's not true. And I've heard many, many stories of people that were influenced by friends and family members into these lifestyles.
So I'm glad you brought up Caitlyn Jenner. And I can call him Caitlyn because he legally changed his name to Caitlyn. But you know what I'm doing purposefully? I'm calling him a he because that's how God created him.
Right.
But he is Caitlyn. Respectfully, someone changes their name, I'll call them whatever name they want to be called if it's legal. But there, what's astounding to me, Laura, is the pronoun battle, this pronoun demanding to be called a certain pronoun. And then some people are getting fired for using the wrong pronouns. And we're just gotten into this just crazy delusion of culture. But I want to go back. That was April 2015 when he came out. Vanity Fair, I think, was the magazine
I
that put him
think
on the
so.
put him on the cover, the former decathlon winner in the US
Right.
Olympics he was on the cover of Wheaties. Anyway,
Right.
but 2008, I may be wrong within a couple of years, but Oprah Winfrey did a show with the so-called first pregnant woman, no, the
I
first
forgot
pregnant
about that.
man, first pregnant man. Was it Thomas Beatty or something like that? So first pregnant, it was a woman that had a beard or a goatee and hair on her face, and she was pregnant. And Oprah was setting the bar for, hey, I'm just, here's the delusion. Call this person a man, and he's pregnant. And I'm thinking, okay. And then, of course, what did the media do? They picked up the headline, hey, first pregnant man. So the delusion started about, I don't know, 8 years, roughly 8 to 10 years or whatever before Bruce came out, and then it just exploded. But to what kids are dealing with today, just share some more thoughts on that. And I've got, actually, I want to go to this real quick before we run out of time. What the rise of transgender suicide is at 40% now, and the number of trans homicides has doubled. So this is just a consequence of the rotten fruit that we've been seeing, that these demonic agendas. Let's talk about that, Laura. Your thoughts. First, suicide. What we're doing is not working, or what we've been doing as a culture, as a country, is not working. Go ahead and share your thoughts.
Yeah, and there needs to be more studies on it, but there studies have shown that transgender people are far more likely to attempt or commit suicide or think about suicide. But the therapies and the medications and surgeries, none of this helps. And in fact, a lot of times it gets worse after that. And I can tell you, as someone, when you put all your eggs in this basket and you are totally convinced of this and you spend your entire every waking moment thinking about making this real, and then you realize it's not real, that's incredibly devastating. And so I was more suicidal after surgeries. And people can say, oh, it's because their family's not affirming or whatever. And I don't know of anybody, like, especially when you're in your 20s, I didn't care that much what my parents thought, to be honest. I knew they loved me. But you can find, I had so many people around me affirming me and telling me this was wonderful and celebrating me. It was not for lack of affirmation. But I also think there's, this is a demonic move of the enemy. And you think about when the children of Judah were taken captive, what is the first thing that they did to them? Do you remember? They changed their name.
Oh
Changed their
my
name, gave them a
goodness.
Babylonian name, and made
That's
them eunuchs.
right. That's right.
That is what the enemy is doing. And I
Wow.
think that's exactly this agenda. He wants to stop production of life. He hates human life. So if he can't get them through abortion, well, let's just cut them off even before that so they never have any kids and they have no chance to. It not only mars
Wow.
the image of God, but this is really about destroying life any way that he can.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's not just the transgender ideology. It's the population control cult that thinks human beings are the problem with all the, you know, climate change and all the stuff in the world. So there's more variables that come into this, but nonetheless, it is demonic. I just want to quote this one article I found. It says, people who transition are killing former loved ones, spouses, children, or random people at unprecedented rates. We've seen this since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We've seen it at churches and schools in the last couple of years. And the media will not talk about this. LGBTQ plus groups suggest the reason for the surge in homicides or suicides is due to lack of acceptance. But you say, and many transgender individuals will say, that they get acceptance from friends or family or peers.
Yeah.
But you got to find someone to blame, right? Go ahead, Sher. Go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, there's so much anger. And the reason that people go into transgenderism in the first place, there could be all these surface reasons, you know, hundreds or, you know, many different reasons. But underneath all of that, really, I think the root of it is pride and then but self-hatred at the same time. Yeah. Like, I feel like I should be this amazing person that everybody loves and the world celebrates, but I hate myself. I hate my the way I look. I hate my body, you know, whatever it is. And there is this desperation to recreate yourself into somebody that everybody thinks is a hero. And it breeds this incredible anger and bitterness, and you have to have someone to blame. And a lot of times I think people blame Christians because they blame God. And Christians are the tangible representative of God that they can go after. And I think, honestly, like we've said, it's demonic, but it's also the person's own angry, sinful heart that is mad at God. And I find that anger at God, at the way he created them, is really at the root of this.
Yep. Because they're rebelling against God, their creator, and the divine order of things. That's
right.
God is an orderly God. Satan is the author of confusion and the father of lies. And here we have the culture we're living with today, with so many lies and confusion. Another reason we need to all pray for wisdom in these days we're living in. But anyway, Laura Perry Smaltz, EdensRedemption.org. I'm going to look at a couple different shirts on your website. I love the one that says Rebuilt by God with the hammer and the anvil. Love that. But I also love that blue butterfly. I'm going to get that for my wife. But thank you so much for all you do. And we're going to see you May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay at the Worldview Matters Conference. I'm excited about that. You're bringing your husband and your dog.
Yes,
your therapy dog.
I have a service dog. He's a golden retriever. He loves everybody, so you'll enjoy meeting him.
Awesome. I can't wait to meet, of course, Perry, to see you guys in person. But thanks for all you do. Friends, pray for Laura's health, her protection, and the advancement of her ministry. We appreciate all you do, Laura. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Friends, thanks for watching, listening, and sharing. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.